I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late, He's working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy. Same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God that's never late, He's working all things out. He's working all things out. Oh yes, I will lift you high. Stand again. Oh yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy.
Good morning, everyone. 100 points. Who knows what day it is besides Sunday? The Marine Corps birthday. 244 years, 1775. And I say, on the eighth day, God created the Marine. And the devil said, holy crap, here they come.
And guess what? They also created Keith.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Keith.
Let's stand and worship the Lord.
Play a song. States. Oh. Hoorah.
You are my joy. You are my song. You are the well, the one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long. And where else would I go? Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Yeah. after day, night after night. I will remember you're with me in this fight. Although the battle, it rages on, the war is already won. I know the war is already won. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me. Your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me. Your love defends me. And we sing alleluia. You're my portion, my salvation.
Who died for me? Praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him.
Shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my doom till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my truth till I met you. When you called my name.
But what happened?
And I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness. My sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. Cause when you call my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day, you call my name.
Lord God, we just ask that you continue to have us worship in this avenue as we lift up your holy name and we continue in this attitude of giving and generosity, Lord, as we receive your tithe and our offering. God, this is not just not for those who are visiting. You're our guest, and we thank you. But God, may we ask for your blessing to be upon these gifts and tithes, that they may multiply and further your kingdom. As we continue to worship your name in song, and that, God, you just praise you for those many blessings. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So, God, just fill this room with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
But it's not my voice that really counts here. It's your voices that count. You know, God just wants our hearts to come together in a community spirit. So let's just sing that chorus one more time together as a church body. I'm going to take my ears out because you know what? I can't hear you. But
great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. Always.
God, your faithfulness is so awesome. And Lord, as we journey to our different places around this building with our children, as they head to our Haven Kids ministry, God, we pray that we know that faithfulness that you instill in them when they're young will just, they're not the body of Christ tomorrow, but they are now. Help those of us who remain here just connect and to you in a time that seems so hectic, and that many of the holidays and things that we celebrate are originated about you, but sometimes, God, you get lost in all that. So help us to just focus on you, to open our hearts, to open our lives, to really make a difference in this world for you. For that and all things, great is your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone, our children can leave now for Haven Kids, and everybody else greet one another.
The story starts with me eating chicken at KFC, and this guy comes just shuffling in with a walker. His beard was growing out, and his hair was down to his shoulders, and it was greasy and matted. He's got on this old white t-shirt that is just soiled from stem to stern. I thought, well, you know, I can at least give him something to eat. We went and grabbed him some chicken, and I found out he was living on a couch in a little patch of woods there. So he was back there laying on the couch, and he told me that he was a homeless vet. I could not believe that a human being would be living like he was, especially having served the country. He was sick, he mentally disabled, smelled to high heaven. You know, it would be inhuman to leave a man living out like that, if there was any hope. We just started taking care of him from then on.
Ready?
You know, what happens to a man that deteriorates to the position that he's in?
I just wish God would make all of this stop.
Good morning. Today's reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly
provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
All right, so as part of our generosity sermon series, our new sermon series that we're doing, message series over the next couple weeks, we are, rather than having our normal intro that's consistent, we're going to share some different things, and you will see a little bit more of this story at the end of the message today. And I thought it was very fitting and also disturbing that those who, as we recognize Veterans Day, those who serve the country live in those conditions for many different ways. But we're going to show how gratitude helps change some of those things and generosity, more importantly. All right, well, we want to welcome everyone here, though. First of all, today, several things that we want to lift up in today's message, a couple prayers that we want to lift up right now. We have a lot of them today. Victoria Sheets has asked for prayers for Emily Heath, 11 years old, with terminal leukemia. Treatment is not working, so pray for her. Joanna Shea, prayers for her grandson, Hunter, who's having surgery this Thursday, and for Jason and Donnie in recovery. Trudy Bennett asked for prayers for her son, Austin, that he's able to go to Norway to get his master's degree. All right, so we want to pray for that. A praise from someone, no heart surgery at this time, so that's good. All right, we'll take that. Robin Hildebrand is asked to prepare for Donnie Smith. His body is rejecting the transplant lung. Prayer for successful eye surgery November 6th. For Lou, and the prayers for the church family. Also, we want to lift up Carolyn in prayers as well. We also want to lift up the family of Vaughn Potts. Many of you remember Vaughn and Alice. Vaughn passed away, and Vaughn was a character, in case you knew him. And his services will be tomorrow at 10 a.m. at Hicks Funeral Home in Elkton, and visitation before. So pray for Alice and the entire family as we participate in that service and honor his life, all right? So again, if you have any other prayer requests, those who are watching church online, we'd love for you to go ahead and connect and put those online so we can get those out. And for anybody else, if you're here, you can also write those. We'll make sure they're included in here, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Lord God, we come to you, and there's a lot of needs here today. We have surgeries. We have people who have been through surgery but are rejecting things. We have praises for no heart surgery. We have those who are looking for the next step in life as far as education and jobs. We look at a young girl who is just facing leukemia, and it doesn't seem to work. And God, in all these things we look at these things and we say, you know, many times people say, where is God? God, we know you're very present. We just call on you. We want to see miracles. We want to claim that, just as you said, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives within us also. And so, God, we're claiming that at this moment for complete healing and restoration for many of these people. And God, we know that you do that. We know that these bodies were not made to last forever. And that's why we trust in you. And that's why the gift of your Son is so important. But Lord, as we are here in this time of where we push toward Thanksgiving, we look and we say, wow, you know, there's so many people dealing with so many things. And God, we know that you have the answer to all things, and that we just want to focus and trust in you. And so, Lord, be with us, be with the people who are on this prayer list, and guide us in your direction, and give us comfort, give us peace, give us security, give us healing. Whatever you do with these prayer requests, we lift them up to you. We know that the scripture says where two or three are gathered, so are you. And so, God, during this time, we are gathered here and committing these names and people to your life and to your hands. For that, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, everyone, we are going to be starting a new series today. We do have a few announcements that I want to touch on that are very important. First of all, welcome. We're glad everybody's here today. If you're visiting, we always say, hey, we want you to just relax, enjoy, and connect to God in whatever way God has you connect, and just to enjoy that and be part of our worship today. A couple things that are here that we want to touch on. Operation Christmas Child, we can see we have the boxes that are building up. Our children right now are working on those. And if some of you might be going, oh my gosh, that was today, right? You can go like this, all right? If you do that, okay, next week you better bring them, right? We got to have them next week, definitely. Is that the drop dead date? Okay, so make sure that you have them next week, or else we ship you in a box to some other place, and you go ahead and you greet them. But seriously, again, as we've been talking about, these are all representative of life. Every child is going to receive that. And last week in our series, What's Next, we talked about the next thing in this whole pattern is to make a difference. And so, part of that, God just led me to talk about generosity. And so we really need to make a difference in the world through Operation Christmas Child. Then we also have the Thanksgiving dinners. You have the inserts that are here. We need, we had 36 boxes, and we need 15 more boxes or bags to go. There, 12 cooked turkeys. We need 4 more. Is that correct? 4 more cooked turkeys that are for Tuesday, November 26th. And donations of any amount are there. Out here we have a turkey, and they want you to put a feather, what you're thankful for, and you write some things on there, and then you put them there, and any donations are going to go to help for this. And also, we need volunteers. Let me start with this. First, we need some boxes and coolers, and we need volunteers for Northeast Walmart. And they'll be there at Northeast Walmart. You can sit there, you can smile people, you can you know, tell them happy, whatever, okay? And the main thing is people are very generous and give, but we need people, need coolers, and need boxes. Also, we do have our freezer plugged in out here now. So if you want to go ahead and bring in your turkey, we have room in the freezer for that so we can start doing those things, okay? Everybody good? And some of you may say, oh, I've been spending so much money at the grocery store. I've got 5 turkeys, okay? Go for it. It works, all right? We can donate them. But it does make a huge difference in the lives of those in our own community. And so it's a great thing to do to recognize that we make a difference and it's generous and every other kind of thing. Also, we want to look at, there's a couple other things, the home repair project that you're seeing those. They're coming up, Dave Hollis. You can connect with him. We'll talk more about that. And we're getting up to the point to kick off and have the stockings for soldiers, and we'll talk some more about those things, all right? Everybody good? This is the time. Lots of stuff going on, right? And so I'm excited about that. I also, just to let you know, the weather combination with volleyball state final stuff is getting into my throat here. Because I'm not I know this is going to shock you, I'm not a quiet dad when I watch my daughter play. I think Danny needs knee surgery after I was hitting him during the game. But anyway, I get into it a little bit, and being her senior year as they go play this Wednesday down at University of Maryland for the semifinals, I'm a little bit excited dad, okay? So I know you're shocked by that. I'll let that settle in while we get ready, okay? And then this it is the season, correct, where we have this. It's gotten cold, hasn't it? And some of us have already, I wish we were older to go to Florida like everybody else, right? But no big deal. We are going to give, our new sermon series is going to be this. Before we get into that, though, several years we have gone ahead and recognized our veterans. And rather than do it how we usually did, I just want to do that in this way. So if you have been in the Army, please stand up. Okay, here you go, been in the Army. Okay, please remain standing, if you will. If you've been in the Navy, please stand up or connect to the Navy. Anybody in the Navy? You can stand up. You can remain standing. No Navy people? All right. You've been in the Marines. I know Wayne's standing up. There he is back there. Okay. All right. Go ahead, remain standing. Air Force. All right. There we go. Army, Navy, Air Force. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. Any Coast Guard? All right. All right, so again, did I miss any? Okay. National Guard, thank you. Yes, that's associated with whatever branch of the military. National Guard, anybody? National Guard? All right, well, we want to thank you all for your service and for everything that you do. This is your time, and thank you for making it our time. All right, thank you very much. Let's give them a hand. All right, talk about the... I figure what a great day to kick off a series on generosity when we recognize so many people took time out of their life to serve in the military so that we can remain free and we can continue to do the things that we do. And so generosity is a perfect time to start talking about this message series because fall is a season of multiple things. It is kind of a season where we begin to reflect. How many of you have said, oh my gosh, I can't believe the year's almost over? How many have said that? Or said, this is the quickest year I've ever had. I can't believe what happened. Or how many of you are saying, oh my gosh, how many have seen those 46 days left to Christmas? And you got this panic feeling. And then you said, oh, don't worry, I've got Prime. It'll deliver 2 days ahead, okay? You might have said that. It is also a season of where we say, okay, what can we do moving forward? What is this next year of what year is it going to be? 2020, isn't that cool? That used to be 2020 was just a TV show now and vision. Now we get to celebrate that year. So we have holidays that are here, a new year, a new focus. We have outreach. We have all kinds of stuff that are going on. We tend to have announcement after announcement about giving. Pretty soon the people will be standing as we're going to stores, ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling, right? And we will be there. Walmart's already got the big tractor trailers ready to hit there, and you walk into stores, and it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas from August on. Am I right? And so here we are. We're here. So I thought it was a great time to talk about generosity. As the last section, I know some of you are still in those weeks of what's next. The last section talks about literally making a difference. And so I was looking at just the world and the news, and the Lord led me to do this three-week series on generosity. And today we're going to start with, with just some Bible verses, and we're going to talk about the concept of generosity. We have a theme verse here. Here it is here from 1 Timothy. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Oh my gosh, how would that work out? Okay? And he said, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope and trust in God. Imagine that if our world and our community just really embraced that message right there. That we stop being arrogant, that we stop putting our hope in stuff that just is here today and gone tomorrow, and then we put our hope in God. So here we go. It continues on, and it says, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Don't you love that God says, hey, enjoy. Isn't that cool that we have a God who wants us to enjoy things? Some of you may have remember when you were growing up, your parents wanted you to sit still, don't move, don't talk. This is not enjoyment. This is church, right? You remember those things? Don't move, don't breathe, and all that kind of stuff. If you turn blue, then you can open up your mouth, all right? But look what it says. It says, God provides us with everything for our enjoyment. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In other words, do the good stuff. Treat others well. And then it says, in this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may truly take hold of the life that is truly life. Don't you love that? Lay up treasure in heaven. So you do this stuff, and you're laying up treasures in heaven. Now, let me get that straight. That doesn't mean that you do stuff so that you get into heaven, because there's only one way, and that's through Jesus, all right? But what you do, we learn this all throughout Scripture. Jesus talked about it, that there is like a heavenly skee ball. You know what I'm talking about here? Anybody played skee ball? Right? You know, like you throw, you guys are like, what is he talking about? He is sick today. Okay, so where you throw the ball and it goes in and you get like a billion tickets. And then you go up and let's say I have 5,000 tickets and they say you can have a spider ring. You know what I'm talking about, right? All right. So the things that we do here, the good stuff that we do here, Jesus says we get some rewards in heaven, okay? Not sure what that's all about, but every time I do here, there's songs about wearing a crown and stuff. It's all to lay at the feet of Jesus. So we get rewards so we can say, thank you, Jesus. Get it? So we're gracious and we have generosity so that we get lots of stuff so we can say, here you go, Jesus. Thank you. Isn't that cool? All right, so anyway, that's a whole other sermon series. Just stay there. But a life that is wrapped into making a difference for someone matters. It matters, and it really makes something a huge change. And so I was thinking, I was thinking about like a word study. If I did a sermon series on top words in the Bible, or main words that we hear, one of the things you would think the word believe would be an important one, right? Believe is throughout Scripture 272 times. That's a lot of times, right? How many have ever heard a sermon on believing? And thought, how many think have ever heard, you got to believe? We sing songs about, you got to believe. Okay, so that's an important one. And it's in there 272 times. What about praying? Anybody heard a sermon about prayer? Anybody talked about prayer? Anybody think prayer is valuable? Prayer, 371 times. So prayer is very, very, very important. And so that's why you hear a lot of different things about that. You could talk about one verse of prayer each day. You read a verse of prayer every day of the week and still have a couple more, all right? What about love? How many have heard sermons or messages about love? Love, how many times is love up there? Love is 714 times. That's important, correct? So you have love. So when we begin to think about this generosity or giving, I wanted to see how much the word give is in the Scripture. And look at this, 2,161 times. That's a lot. If that's talked about a lot, do you think it's important? Anybody think any of those words before are not important? That last one is strategic. It's there a ton. So, and it connects with God himself, because God so loved the world that he gave, okay? So it's part of the nature of God. Look at what I'm going to look through a couple scriptures, and then we're going to set this up today. Psalm 37 says this, the wicked borrow and never repay. Anybody have friends like that? Okay, you can tell them. Scripture says they're wicked. But he says, but the godly are what? Generous givers. If we look at Proverbs 11, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And this is what I want for you. I want it for my life. I want it for everything. And I'm going to tell you right now, when people hear generosity or giving, we sit a little bit higher in the chairs because we get a little bit, oh, here they come. I'm going to ask for that. I think Keith will let me tell this because it's his birthday, but he's told other people in public. He came to church the first time. And the first time he came in, right, Becky, you're laughing about this. What did I talk about? Tithing. I talked about tithing, and he was like, I ain't coming back, all right? So, yeah, okay, I heard him for 3 years. So don't do that, because I'm not going to talk about that, because giving is so much more than money. I think we in the church have wronged ourselves by focusing on money. I think we've been wrong. When we need to focus on, God has given us a life that we can give and make a difference in people's lives. And so that's what we're going to talk about in this series. We're not going to talk about specifically that because one of the reasons is because you are a very giving church. You're a very, very giving church that you meet needs. And I am blessed to be your pastor in that. And so what we are going to do, though, is we're not asking for anything. We are going to go verse by verse in this kind of couple chapters in 2 Corinthians. And sometimes I just really like to go verse by verse into some things and unpack them. It's kind of like a Bible study. And some of you remember, we did that earlier in the year in Song of Solomon. We did that before in Daniel and some of those things. I like to get in those every once in a while. So one of the things is, and I believe this is wrongly put and taught by many people, you don't give to get from God or from others. You give because it should come out of your nature in an area. And so let's look at some of these things. Paul, let me prime the pump a little bit. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a tent maker early on, from what we know, and he was also an apostle or a church planter. This is what he did. And he went around the Gentile world planting these Christian churches, but he had a great, great love for the mother church, which was the church of Jerusalem. And as he went around, he would get these churches up and moving, and then he would go ahead and say, okay, once you're solid, we'd love for you to give back to the mother church so that she can distribute and continue there, all right? So he wanted them to remember. He said, not now, but when you get a little bit stronger. So that's what brings us to this verse from 2 Corinthians 8, and it says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches. So there were some churches in Macedonia, and when he talks about grace here, it is about a gift of grace, okay? A grace gift. There's a giftedness that's here. He says, and so the Macedonians gave. And so what Paul is doing now keep in mind, let me give you some history. The area of Corinth was very, very wealthy. Very, very wealthy in this time in the world. The area of Macedonia, not so. So pay attention. So Paul is kind of creating a little competition here. Okay, so let's look what he says here. He says, out of the most severe trial, the Macedonian churches, their overflowing joy and extreme poverty welled up in generosity. So he says, here is, he's writing to the Corinthian church, which had lots of issues. But he said, here is this, I want to tell you about the Macedonian church. They have extreme poverty and trial, yet out of that grew an intense amount of generosity and welled up. So they were probably one of the poorest churches that was here. He said, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. So in other words, they blew them away with their giving. Just totally blown away. They didn't expect anything. They may have even said to the Macedonian church, no, not you. We know that you need things. And the Macedonian said, no, we want to. We want to do this. And that's what he says in the next verse. Entirely on their own. Entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. Stop there. So Paul and them probably said, no, you guys need to be recipients. And they said, no, please. Please let us give. Please let us give give. Please, we want to. We want to connect. We got to do this. And then Paul says, and they did not do as we expected, but they, ready for this verse? Gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. They gave of themselves. You see, generosity, as I said, is not about money. Generosity is about everywhere you go. Generosity is about when you see someone that they need a pat on the back, you give them one. You give them a good word. You encourage them. You give text. You give phone calls. You give posts. You tell them, just thinking about you today. You go ahead and you do those things that are really cool. We're going to talk about some of these things that we can do and some examples of what people have done. So he continues on again, and he says, so we urge Titus. We urge Titus, since he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. So Titus is the, let me put it this way, traveling usher, all right? He's going around to the churches and saying, hey, do you have anything you want to give? If so, awesome. If not, great. So they said, Macedonians gave when we said no. And they said, please, please, please let us give. They gave. Here's Titus. Titus comes along, and he's at the Corinthian church. And so here we are. So he says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. In other words, right here, what Paul's saying is, Corinthian church, you're awesome. You're amazing. You are awesome in faith. You have some of the greatest faithfulness I've ever seen. He says, wait a second, but you also have in speech, you share the word of God with so many people. You have an intense amount of knowledge that is far beyond many people in the known world. And by having wealth, they would have been able to have some of the greatest education. And you're completely earnest in your love for us. You're loving. He says, but now I want you to be complete. I want you to be awesome in giving as well. I want you to also give out of everything that you have, because you have this charis, this grace gift that is beneficial to the body of Christ. And then I love what, he's changing their motivation. And here's what he says. And I love this verse. He says, I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. In other words, what Paul's saying here, a command comes outside. How many of you have ever had to do something you never wanted to do because somebody commanded it? Anybody? If not, take note, who's not raising their hands, you make them do it later, okay? All right? So, but how many have ever had to go somewhere to an event that you never wanted to go to? How many had to sit through children's stuff that you were like, oh, God, just please rapture us out of here, right? Anyone? All right? Anybody as a kid drugged somewhere that you did not want to go and wearing clothes that you did not want to wear and not acting as you wanted to act, okay? All right, we've all done that. And none of us love those moments, do we? None of us love the situation. And for years, we've had from pulpits people commanding people to do things and giving. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to do that because you know why? Because God isn't doing it. It's not about commanding. Commanding does nothing. It has to come from the sincerity within of our love for God and others. Giving and generosity comes from here, not from do this, do that, do that. I love the fact that there are people who love to go and serve in homeless ministry and with the Parish Foundation. And it's not because I said, this week is your week. You go. Make sure you're there. I'm going to make sure you're there. You better be there. I'll be following you. No, it's out of the love that they have for other people that God has called that grace gift for them to make a difference in the world out of generosity. You see how this is supposed to work? And we as a church have messed that up pretty badly over the years. And so what we have here, why do we need to do this? Why do we need to have this whole thing that continues here? He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. So that you through his poverty might be rich. You see, Jesus, all of heaven, everything, set that aside to be born in a manger. About time we talk about that again, right? Born in a manger. Born up in a carpenter's household in Nazareth. Hung out with fishermen. Didn't have a place to call his own. Died pretty much in poverty for the sake that we might become rich. And I will tell you, many people have used this wrong and said, oh, that's why Jesus said, because he wants you to have all the wealth in the world. He wants you to have everything there is. It's not what it's about. It's about becoming rich in the example of Christ. You see, if we really want to take this, the example of Christ, what he did is he took all the stuff that he had, all the giftedness, all the wealth, and he put it all aside so that others could become rich. Did you see how that worked? It's not that we look at it this way, oh, thank you, Jesus, you gave it to me. We look at it this way, oh, if I'm the example, I need what you've given to me, I need to take out so others are built up. It's a different perspective, am I right? And so if we want to do the same as Jesus, we need to make people's lives better in many ways. And here's my advice about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. And I love the fact that when we have these multiple programs, these multiple ministries, not programs, forget that, these multiple ministries, nobody holds a gun to your head and makes sure you do these, but every year, every time it comes up, you fulfill these ministries because it comes out of your heart, because it comes from the Lord, and I know that's your desire, and that's why he says it's your desire to do so. And what does he say to wrap this up? He says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. Notice that he doesn't say extending your means, but according to what you have, according to what gifts you have. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. You see, the willingness to use the giftedness God gave you is to be making a difference. That's what God loves. If we go to the area where the old woman put in the talent, and Jesus said she gave more, it wasn't because that little thing meant anything in a monetary world, because as I see it, at the end of all this, God's taking all the treasures of this world and he's just making pavement with them, right? The thing that's important is the fact that the gratitude and the generosity of her heart was to give out of what she had and what she didn't have, and that made a difference in God's eyes. And so what I want to do the rest of this time together is to recognize that God cares about the heart of generosity. And there's five things in this text, and maybe another in chapter 9 as well, in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, that help us to focus and get ready on this life of generosity. This life of generosity. You ready? Here we go. First thing is to give joyfully. And again, I want you to pull this out financially, not out of financially. That's part of it, but pull it out of there. Get to your life and your giftedness. So I want you to give joyfully. Give joyfully. Have fun giving. How many of you like to buy presents for people? How many can't wait till they open them? And you love to surprise them. I always try to find something really cool for some people. My nephew always says he hopes I get him for Christmas because I always look for something that he has. And I said, this year I'm taking him whether he likes it or not. But I love to get something. I love to see people open it. I love to see people open something that I've concocted and put together more than I like getting stuff myself. Now, don't get me wrong. I like stuff, right? But I also like to see, there's something that goes on in me that I'm like, yes, that's really awesome to see people have that. And so I have fun in giving. How many of you have ever done those things where you put people on a scavenger hunt to find something, right? Isn't that fun? They hate you, but by the end, they're like loving you because it better be good, okay? So we have that. And we got to stop talking about random acts of kindness. We need to start talking about intentional acts of kindness, that we need to be intentional about our giving. There's several different things that I came across. And there's a couple ideas that I want to share with you. Some stories, seven pay it forward stories that really made a big change. The first one, which I thought was very fitting, was a fatherless boy and his $20 gift. After finding a $20 bill in the parking lot of Cracker Barrel, 8-year-old Miles Eckert went ahead and went up to this man, and he saw a man who was a soldier. And he went up to this customer, the soldier, Lieutenant Colonel Frank Daly, and he gave him a note. He said, "Dear soldier, my dad was a soldier. He is in heaven now. I found this $20 in the parking lot when we got here. We like to pay it forward in my family. It's your lucky day. Thank you for your service. Miles Eckerd, a Gold Star kid." Paid it forward. There was another person. Did you hear about this? The 378-person long Starbucks line of good deeds in Starbucks. So what happened was a woman in Starbucks in St. Petersburg, Florida, had somebody ahead of her that paid for what she ordered. Paid for her iced coffee and the caramel macchiato, paid for that. So she went ahead and paid for the one behind her. They paid for the one behind them. They paid for the one behind them. 378 people continued that throughout the day, and it went all the way up until 6 p.m. until this jerk, number 379, refused to pay for the person after that. Yes, there was one jerk in there, right? All right. 378 people continued to pay it forward time after time after time. And do you think, let me ask you a question, do you think people were a little less testy about not getting their caramel macchiato spun with whatever in a timely manner because what they were doing took precedence over everything? You're darn right they did, except for that one 379th jerk that we will pray for. All right? 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 Isn't that awesome? That people are willing to do that. I found this. Mason Wartman has a pizza shop in Philadelphia named Wartman's. In an effort to help homeless people, which is a serious, serious issue, he allowed customers to spend an extra dollar to prepay for a slice of pizza and then put a Post-it on the wall. Homeless people could then redeem the Post-it for a free slice. As of this first year in February, the restaurant had given away more than 10,000 slices of pizza by the goodness of people. And something that usually gets a bad name in the internet world, Reddit. Reddit recognized that the National School Supply and Equipment Association said that teachers pay for 77% of their own supplies. So they came up with Reddit gifts. And this program matches donors with teachers to ship them supplies that they need to focus on teaching their kids without worrying about lack of resources. As of August, this started at the beginning of the year, as of August, 14,000 teachers had signed up and 10,000 donors had answered the call. It's a brilliant way to exist. You see, we tend to forget that we're in this thing together. We tend to forget that there is a power in generosity. We're really good about this time of year, but what about each and every day of the year? There are several small things that we can do in life. Maybe you want to just deliver fresh baked cookies to a neighbor or a coworker, or bring flowers to someone, or offer to babysit for free, or maybe pay somebody's Starbucks in line, maybe pay someone's fast food meal. You want to see somebody get really weird? Go through the drive-thru and say, "Hey, here's this to pay for them." And they go, they stick their head out the window like, "What is wrong with that person?" Used to be able to do that for tolls, but now we all zoom through with Easy Pass, don't we? All right? Used to do that. Give another driver your parking spot and you drive way out. Yeah, on Christmas time, all right? You can park next to Danny. Right, Danny? You can park next to him. Danny always parks away. But give a treat to the postman or delivery person. Leave a big tip for a waiter or waitress. Pay for someone's movie that is behind you in line. Slip a $20 bill to someone you know who's struggling financially. Pay for someone's meal or dessert in a restaurant. Bake goodies and take them to the police station, fire station, or hospital, or other first responders. Take a box of donuts to school or the office. Cook a meal for somebody. Just say hello to someone. Let somebody, here you go, in a real long line, let people in front of you, not just one, let three people in front of you. When they're doing all this road construction, stop and go, "You first." Something like that can change someone's life, can change them in that moment when we give joyfully. This is in the nature of Jesus. When Jesus said, the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And it can, in our verse, it continues this: each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. In a Wall Street Journal article back in 2013, it was called Hardwired for Giving. It's a great article. You can find it on the internet if you'd like to. It's written by Elizabeth Svoboda. And she starts off by talking about a study that was done, because so many people have talked about survival of the fittest. And from an evolutionary standpoint, there is a survival of the fittest, which means the strongest survive. And the idea was saying that we are built to look out for number one. But what nobody can find out that happens is, why are we generous if we have that? And what they did, after several people and researchers came together, they found out something. They found out that there is a chemical that is released in our brain that when we are kind to people, it makes us feel good. So when you're kind to people, you have a chemical reaction. It's like, yeah, all right? So if you're having a bad day, do something and be kind to somebody and see what happens. So you can continue with that. So again, it's the Wall Street Journal. Check it out. It's a really cool article about that. Number two, give selflessly. Give selflessly. So when we give selflessly, it says this: and they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. This is the Macedonian church. God was generous to us. He did not give to us, and he did not give and have us have ransom money. He gave himself. John 3:16, this one we all know, right? Says, for God so loved the world that he gave the best gift, his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, it says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You ever gotten a gift that's so amazing that you can't even put it into words? Like, you just love it so much, there's nothing you can do with it. I always love when you would give like a stuffed animal to a young kid that they just love, and they sleep with it, they hug it, they drag it with them everywhere. Like, if you go wash it, you got to do it when they're knocked out of sleep, or else they'll stand by the washer, you know, the whole time. They love it so much. And so I'm thankful that God gave his gift of his son, because we are impacted by giving. Like, think about, what if Noah just said, I don't do boats? What if Moses said, I don't talk to burning shrubbery? Right? What if Mary said, I don't do virgin birth? What if Joshua said, nope, don't go near walls? What if Paul said, I don't write letters? What if Billy Graham said, I don't do revivals? And what if Jesus said, I don't do crosses? You see, it's about the giving of yourself. The giving of yourself. And that short list of people I named gave their lives. You notice none of them came up with money. Noah didn't buy a boat for Eli down the road. Mary didn't say, sis, you go. You're better qualified. Billy Graham didn't say, what about that preacher up the road? He's more skilled than I. Jesus didn't say, why don't you send one of these sinners, not me. See, they gave of themselves. And so it's the heart of God, the Father, to be generous. It's the heart of Jesus, the Son. It's the heart of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And it needs to be the heart of the church and each individual person that's in that. Number three, give willingly. Say, I want to give of my life. Look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 8. For the willingness is there. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable. This is where a lot of people at this point will say, well, wait a second, isn't tithing an Old Testament thing? Yes, it is. And Jesus changed the old order of motivation, because tithing was an outward thing that you had to do. It was an outward thing. Here you go. This is what you have to do as a good Jewish man, woman. Do this. Law. Boom. Came from the outside. Jesus changed the motivation, so it wasn't like I have to do, but I'm happy to. It wasn't like I've got to, it's I get to. You notice the difference? One comes from here, one comes from here. It's from God the Father himself. He says, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. How are you fulfilled in life? I've known many, many people who have tried everything outside of here to fulfill what's in here. Time after time after time after time. I've known people who have tried money, drugs, you name it. They've tried busyness, everything to feel fulfilled here. And most every person I've ever talked to who has this says, I'm still empty. There have been person after person after person who said, I achieved and I made my goal here, but honestly, I'm still unfulfilled. Because fulfillment comes from within, and I believe it comes from a relationship with a generous God. So Psalm 116 says, how can I repay the Lord for all the goodness to me? Here's the answer, you can't. So don't try. But in 1 Corinthians it says, everything comes from you, God. And we have given you only what comes from your hand. You see, when we look at everything belongs to God, and God is in charge of everything, our time, our life, our schedules, everything, it creates a new thing. Here's what I'm going to tell you is the best thing to give. Ready for the best thing to give while I'm going through puberty again up here? Here we go. It's this. The best thing to give is this. Your story and your life. The blessingness and the goodness of God is the most powerful thing you can give to somebody. Just tell them, hey, this is what God's done for me. I don't know about, but this is what God is doing in my life. This is what comes. This is the blessings of God. This is how the Lord made an impact in my life. So after we have, give joyfully, give selflessly, give willingly, give thankfully. This last one, give intentionally. Give intentionally. Not random or emotionally. Anybody ever done something emotionally in your life that turned out not too good? Give intentionally. Look at what Paul says here. You must make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. I saw several years ago a very well-known evangelist talked a lot about his private jets. Talked a lot about all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, man. And my immediate response was this. You're flying over a lot of people. And I'm not begrudging what God gives. But I'm saying you're flying over a lot of people who need to be fed. A lot of people who need to know the goodness of God. And if you're doing that, sometimes you're missing the point. I don't know his heart. I just know for me, I was like, man, and I could see like more of a compelling and a pressure to give, and it just didn't fit well for me. Hey, you hear me? Did you hear me at offering time? That usually makes treasurers nervous when I say, hey, if you're visiting with us, we don't expect you to give. We want you to give of yourself and be here and connect to God. That's important to me. Everything that we do is so that we can take person A and connect to Jesus in that manner. That's the whole entire existence for what I would do. And it shouldn't only be here. It should be everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. And because of your goodness and your giving, we have been able to do some of the things we talked about last week here and around the world. You know how amazing it is to make a difference in the life of someone. I heard a story of an obituary that said this. Our church was saddened to learn this week of the death of one of our most valued members, someone else. For many, many years, as part of this church, someone else did far more than their normal share of work. Whenever there's a job to do, a class to teach, a meeting to attend, everybody said, let someone else do it. Whenever leadership was mentioned, this wonderful person was looked for inspiration as well as results. Someone else can work with this group. It was common knowledge that someone else was one of the most generous givers. When there was a financial aid, everyone assumed someone else would make up the difference. Now someone else is gone. We wonder what we're going to do. Someone else left a wonderful example for us to follow. But who's going to follow it? Who's going to do the things someone else did? And so when you're asked to help, remember, we can't depend on someone else anymore. You saw at the beginning of this message today, a man who saw a man in a restaurant who was homeless, saw the living conditions, if you could call that he was in, And you saw him start to take him under his wing. You heard the man say, I just asked God that this would all be over. Let's see the rest of this right now.
I mean, it's been a challenge, just a slog to get those benefits. In the middle of this thing, I don't know when it'll end. I don't know if it will end. But when I committed to help him, I basically told God I'd see it through.
Mark was in hell till Eddie Green came into his life and changed all that. Mark was very sick. You know, post-traumatic stress syndrome, the first thing they start thinking about is what they did in that war. How many people they done killed. I'm hoping that Mark can get out of the prison that he's in his own mind, and come back to life.
For a while, I hated God more than anything on this planet. That went away because I figured there's all kinds of people on this planet that are kind of like me, and he's helping them. Eddie is someone that I would do anything for if I could.
If you consider that you're a gift of God to the other people in the world, there really is something spiritual that takes place when we give our life.
He became my brother. This is the way I look at other people. They are human beings. They're brothers and sisters no matter what. Somebody needs to reach out, give them compassion, and don't think loving somebody is weak. It is powerful. Love is the most powerful thing in the world.
Amazing story, huh? We're going to see several of those throughout the next couple of weeks of these stories in generosity. He said, when I basically sought out, I told God I was going to see it through. It's not easy for him. It's not going to be easy for him going through and getting all those things, but he committed out of the generosity. Nobody said, you have to go find yourself a homeless veteran and do this. It came out of his heart. It came out of his heart. And so that's why it says, by doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. The only real safe investment is for eternity. This is why we do it for eternity. This is why we do it for eternity. And as our worship team comes up today, the promise is this. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And after World War II came, Europe began to pick up the pieces. And much of the old country had been ravaged by war. Anybody who watches those documentaries or may have heard stories. The saddest sight was that of little orphan children who were starving. Early on a chilly morning, an American soldier was making his way back to the barracks in London. As he turned the corner in his Jeep, he spotted a little boy with his nose pressed up against a bakery where they were beginning to make the donuts for the morning. He was obviously homeless and he was hungry, and he watched every move. And the American soldier pulled up in his Jeep to the curb, stopped out and got up and walked quietly to where the young boy was standing. Through the steamed up window, he could see the mouth-watering morsels that were being pulled from the oven. They were piping hot, and the boy salivated and released the sight of a groan as he watched the cook place each of those donuts in a way. The soldier's heart was moved to the orphan boy, and he looked at him, and he stood beside him. He said, "Son, would you like one of those?" The boy, startled, said, was shocked and said, "Yes, I would love to have one. Oh, yes, I would." The soldier stopped inside, bought a dozen of them, put them in a bag, walked back to where the young man was standing, and gave them to him as he stood in the foggy, cold London weather. And as he turned to walk away, he felt a tug on his uniform. And the child said, Mister, are you God? We are never more like God than when we give. We are never, ever more than when we give. What do we give? Yourself. Give it away. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Let's pray. Lord God, as we seek your face and we seek your time during this time, God, we recognize that you are a good and giving God. That you are so generous to us in so many ways. You've given us love. You've given us compassion. You've given us blessings. But more importantly, God, you gave us the gift of your Son, Jesus. And when we call ourselves Christians, which means little Christ, Christ-like, God, help us to renew this spirit of generosity that this world needs more than anything. It may be a smile. It may be a Starbucks down the line, and God, we forgive that person who ruined it. But oh God, may we not be that person who ruins it. May we be the one who right after that 379 says, let's start this again, number one. Lord, we need to rekindle this heart of generosity. Our world needs the love of Christ. There's some people that are looking for you. They're hungry, they're starving, they're depressed, they're dealing with mental illness, they're soldiers who are dealing with PTSD and all kinds of things like this. And some people need to know that your God, and maybe the only God they'll see, is in the body of Christ, each one of us. I think of the soldier who said he hated God more than anything. But because of the actions of one and then another, he sees that you're real. Help us today not forget that. Help us to remember our calling, the generous nature that you've called us to. And may we change the world in generosity through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Scattered ashes that I hid away, I lay it all at your feet. From the corners of my deepest shame, the empty places where I've worn your name, show me the love I say. Oh, let this be. once and for all.
All right, I'm going to ask that. I'm just going to show you next week. Melinda, could you put that up there? Please, next week, we're going to talk about the generous life. And so we only have two more weeks in the series. But I want you all to be able to see part of the generosity right now. So if we could have the lights up right now. Our children, while we have been here, have been putting together boxes. So we're going to have them come in and bring these up now and just see a little bit. And just remember, each one of those boxes is a life. Is a life. So let's look at this. Here they come. So, come on up. You can put it right over there, buddy. What? Okay. So, here they come. What's up? Come here. Come here, Luke. You can come up here with me, buddy. Good job, brother. There you go. That's my buddy. Give me five. Yeah, all right. Liz?
Yes.
53 that they put together. 53.
Do you know what our total is?
I don't know. Where are we at, total? 185-ish. Now, with that?
Yep.
Okay. So right around 185. Oh, we can get any more because we know. So we're at 185. We can still give. So we're gonna be collecting them through next week, right, Luke? Yeah. We need more, right? Why? Because why? Because Jesus? Yeah, that's right, because Jesus. Give me five, brother. There we go. All right. Isn't this awesome? Okay. Generosity. Generosity. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for touching the lives of people for Jesus Christ. And, hey, you don't have to be part of this church. This is not our ministry. This is connecting to the worldwide church. This is the church of Jesus Christ all in about. This is all for him. Excuse me. So if you know people who still want to give this week, please go ahead and do so. We will collect them and get more kids connected. Right, Luke? Can you tell them have a good week? Say have a good week. All right. Say God. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, there we go. See y'all. Have a good week. God bless. I can't believe you came to me.